Muddy Knees Media.
Hello and welcome to the Offside Rule. It's me, Kate Borsay. Hello. Here this week for some Offside Rule action. With me, two queens of broadcasting. First up, she's Radio Gaga. It's Lindsay Hooper. And don't stop her now. She's having a good... She had a good time last night. It's Faye Carruthers. You might have to elaborate on that shortly before it sounds like I'm billing your night as something it wasn't. I hope that doesn't make me the killer queen, by the way, if we are to get into this queen theme, as all of our topics today on the show, ladies, are an ode to queen. Just because we want to and because producer Abby thought it would be quite nice.
It's just because we were doing a section about managers under pressure. And that's all that Abby needs, under pressure.
Just
that's
a little hint,
a little
of something.
Glint.
Faye, you did have a good time last night. It was your anniversary. Congratulations.
Yes. Thanks very much, yeah.
How long have you been married?
4 years now.
Have you really?
Yeah, I know.
Goodness,
it's flown, hasn't
me.
It? I know.
Isn't that scary when that happens? Lindsay, have you been celebrating anything recently?
No, nothing springs to mind.
And what have you both been up to in the world of work? Because I find it fascinating when you do little... In fact, Lindsay, I saw that you were at Watford last Friday. Tell me what that was about.
Well, I did an Empowering Women talk, part of a panel discussion, which was really lovely to go and do. 120 people packed
with
in a room.
With some really good names there,
yeah,
as
some
well.
Really good people that we both know on the panel. So we did that. I had a day where I had to split my time this week in the same day between Spurs and Arsenal.
Always tricky.
Which I always find amusing when you get that on the same day. And then I was at Stamford Bridge previewing this huge match on Monday night between Chelsea and Manchester United. And I'll come on to that a little bit later as well.
Ooh. Did you feel empowered after the Watford event?
I found everyone else's stories really incredible and inspiring. And then when you're talking about little sections yourself, what I realise is I told one story in particular that got some gasps. And
oh, go when you on. Get which that, one?
Well, I'm not going to go into that right now. But and also, you'll have to go to an Empowering Women event if you want to hear those.
Pay your ticket, people say. You don't know freebies here.
Sorry. But it surprised me because I think the things that we all maybe put up with or have gone through or obstacles we've had to get by, we then normalise. And then you tell it again in quite a normal fashion because you've just in your own head made sense of it, even though it probably doesn't make much sense. Mm. And then you tell other people in a room of people that don't necessarily work in media, the reaction just shocked me a little bit.
And isn't it funny because we've all been working in this game for so long that you're right, the stuff that happened near the beginning of our careers, we just sort of accepted it. And, you know, hands up, I probably did have sexist comments sort of thrown towards me, but I just would never pay any attention to them. And we live in a different time now, I suppose, where people are free to call other people out, and it's the Me Too era and everything else. But you're absolutely right that sort of some of our experiences, should we care to go back, to lie on the therapist's chair and be regressed back to being 25, 26, and in the world of football, would actually probably be quite shocking.
But it then made me feel quite embarrassed and a bit imposter syndrome, because Kelly Smith was on the panel, who is someone I've admired for years. She's like the best England striker we've ever had.
Awesome.
I loved watching her when I was younger, and is someone that I can call a friend now, and which is really nice. And she sent me a message and she said, I was really inspired by your stories. And I'm like, what? You're Kelly Smith. You shouldn't be inspired by anything I've got
That's
to say.
That's really nice. Faye, what have you been up to apart from out drinking, celebrating your anniversary, coming in hungover today?
I have been working, honestly. I mean, the only reason I'm hungover is because I don't really drink anymore. So, you know, two glasses of wine and that's it, me away
with
the fairies.
It wasn't two glasses of wine though, was it?
No, it wasn't. My husband doesn't just do two glasses of wine, but I'm okay. You know, I've got water and...
I was concerned about you the other night. I sent you the cold emoji.
Oh my
because,
goodness.
Oh my word, I'd been out during the day. I was just heading home and I saw Faye pop up on my phone that she was just in situ for a championship match. And I was thinking, I'm so glad I'm not out there.
It was League One. I was at Peterborough on Tuesday night, and I'd been at AFC Wimbledon on Saturday, and their gantry's quite exposed, and it was sunny, but it was so windy and absolutely freezing. And then Tuesday night, Peterborough. Also, I mean, it was this time of year for football, you have to really love your job, because when you're up high in the gods on the gantry,
yes,
watching football with your notes flying everywhere, your hair flying everywhere. You've got to love, you've got to love the game. Yeah,
and you add into the mix as well that you're sort of mid-storms, you're post-storm yes. Kira and pre-storm Dennis.
Denny.
All right, let's get stuck into today's show. What can you expect, listeners? Well, we're going down to the local Blockbuster store. Not that it's there anymore, but anyway, we're talking movies and footballers as movies, and we're getting away for winter ourselves. I'm actually off for a couple of weeks after this. So we're talking winter breaks and where those particular Premier League teams have been.
I'm going to have to pick you up as well, because I was told the other day it's mid-season player break, not winter break.
Well, that's too much there of a mouthful, go. Isn't it? A reminder that we're on Jack Radio from 4 o'clock on Fridays. But first, as our Lindsay hinted, under pressure is what we're going to be talking about. January has been and gone, and there are no excuses, really, are there, for managers to be struggling? There are a few now who are genuinely under pressure, but who is in real trouble? And how do managers, whether in trouble or not, manage to keep themselves sane during these times of pressure? Faye, I'm going to go to you.
Well, I don't know how they keep themselves sane, but I had a really quite awkward moment on Tuesday night with Southend manager Sol Campbell. Mm. You've probably seen the video.
No, I haven't.
Haven't you? Okay, well, it's on Twitter. I interviewed Sol, and I wouldn't have told this story had this video not been out in the public domain now. But they lost 4-0. They're struggling near the bottom of League One, 13 points adrift of safety. He's really struggling. He's playing youngsters, and he'd handed debuts to three teenagers against Peterborough, and they lost 4-0. And then post-match, I interviewed him, and he started talking about the players, and he said, you know, I had three young players who, you know, were making their first starts for Southampton. And then he carried on talking, and I said, can I just stop you there? You manage Southend. Do you want to just start that again?
Yeah.
Giving him the opportunity to start again and save his blushes. Anyway, for whatever reason, technological reasons, I'm told, it went out on iFollow. And so a Southend fan saw it and recorded it. And now it's all over Twitter. And I feel really sorry for him, actually, yeah. Because he's in a really tricky situation at Southend, as it is anyway. And obviously, everything that he'd gone through at Macclesfield, additionally to that, he's not having the greatest time of it.
No. He doesn't get the easy jobs, does he?
Well, he doesn't go for the easy jobs, no. I would say. So, you know, whether that's his choice or not, I don't know. Perhaps he wants the Southampton job and that was on his mind. I don't think so.
No.
Let's be fair to him.
It was one of those awkward things that you can't... I mean, we all get stuff wrong. We all say things sometimes when we're not necessarily concentrating on what we're saying. We're thinking about something else at the same time. And so that's when Southend becomes Southampton, because that's easily done, right? But it is terrible that it did get picked up.
Well, it was 10:30 at night. His team had got tonked 4-0, and you know he made a mistake. Yeah. I think it's a little bit harsh.
And he's under pressure.
He's massively under pressure. He's the definition of a manager under pressure.
Lindsay, this topic was inspired by Marcelo Bielsa and what he likes to get up to. Did you guys see this week? He is perhaps wins the award for the maddest antics. We know that managers... Yes, well, his nickname's producer, Abby's pointed out, is El Loco. So we should expect this, right? But basically, it's been revealed that he likes to get completely naked and lie on top of a table for 30 minutes after losing.
Does anyone need to know that?
Apparently we do. Former Liverpool star Mark Gonzalez and Jose Pedro have lifted the lid on the Leeds manager's bizarre
habit. I don't know what I make of that. I'm sort of with Faye here in the sense that maybe it happened once. Do you think this happens every time Leeds lose? Well, or was this something that he did once and two players remembered it?
This dates back to between 2007 and 2011 when Bielsa was in charge of the Chile squad. Both those players play for Chile and they were asked to recount some good stories from their old days. And of course, it's been picked up because Bielsa is in a bit of trouble. People are talking about him under pressure, being under the cosh, as it were. So this story has come out, you know, fairly bizarre. I don't know. I'm just reading here as to why you would do the totally naked thing on a table. Why not just I don't know. Perhaps it allows him to be free of all the constraints of football and clothing. I don't know. What have you got for us, Linz?
I'm going to go with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester United because I think that clock is ticking. And it ticked a bit louder when you saw those pictures of Mauricio Pochettino with the new PR man, Neil Ashton, who we all know, who's now at Manchester United, at Griffin Park. They were at Brentford midweek. And now, not only would that fuel the fire, but the fact that two players, Mauricio Pochettino has been quite public that he wanted, this is when he was still in the Spurs job, was Bruno Fernandes, who's gone to Manchester United in the last window, and Jadon Sancho, who they're now being linked with. It feels like more than a coincidence that all of these things are coming into play for maybe him to come in with Monday night, this huge match against Chelsea. The reason being, I mean, if people remember the reverse fixture at the very, very start of the season, Manchester United beat Chelsea 4-0. Chelsea also exited to them in the League Cup back in October, so they haven't got the best record. But this match, should United lose, really, they're out. They're discounted from the top four race then. And so I think if that happens, Ole is going to have a lot more eyes on him because Manchester United, they need to be in those Champions League places in order to get back to the days, the dizzying days and heights that they had under Sir Alex Ferguson when they were consistently attracting the top players because they were playing in Europe all the time. And it doesn't feel like that's getting any closer. So I wonder if he might be one of the next to go, whether it be at the end of the season or before the season's out.
It goes in cycles, though, with him, doesn't it? Because all season, from the beginning of the season, then he rescues it and everything's okay again.
Yeah.
And then again, it's like a little...
And
he's on a little roller coaster.
He's been backed a lot. And it was always about an investment project, wasn't it, with him? Has he done anything slightly bizarre, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, in terms of being under pressure? I can think of one instance, and it was came after Wolves at the beginning of this month, where he just was sort of running out of answers to things and then just added in a strange joke about the goalposts being moved.
Bruno had a few shots. I think the ground staff must have moved the goal half a yard to the right, by the way, because that's down bottom corner with both Mason and Diogo and Juan. Something must have happened last night, I'm sure.
So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer appearing to slightly lose it there.
And it is noticeable that this is a man as well. When we say management takes its toll on people, he was this baby-faced assassin. That's how we've always known him. And now I think Ollie's starting to look like his age.
Yeah.
And I think that is the managerial job. And it is the job that he's always wanted. I just wonder if it came too soon and if he needed more leading up to this. You know, the Cardiff job and Mulder. I think there probably was a need to get some more experience elsewhere first.
Roy Hodgson's in trouble at Crystal Palace, isn't he? I think.
Do you?
I don't think
he's in trouble. I think they keep him. I think there's quit them.
Okay. Well, there is a bit of backlash surrounding Roy. And I was thinking about my best moments of Roy because he does provide some good moments for us journalists.
Back.
Crystal Palace haven't won a game since Boxing Day. And what happens when things are maybe not going right for Roy? Well, Roy goes badass. Listen to this.
We were rocked back by yet another decision, which I find hard to accept. But luckily... Which one do you think?
I'm asking you.
No, well, I'll leave it then. Okay. If you're going to be tricky like that, I won't even bother to, you know, carry on. Shall we? Let's stop it here, shall we? I mean, you're going to be tricky with your questions.
No, I'm genuinely
asking.
Well,
let's start again. Which one? Well, how many were there? And they had two shots at goal. One was a penalty and one was a strike at goal our goalkeeper saved. So what decision are we talking about?
Okay.
So, you know, let's not take the piss here.
I certainly wasn't.
Well, I think you are. But there you are.
I wasn't.
Well, we start again, shall we? Or else you can use that if you want.
No, I don't think they'll want that.
Start again.
It was a genuine question.
Well, I won't mention it then. You know, there wasn't a penalty in the game. There wasn't one of those ridiculous situations in the game. That didn't happen. So let's just talk about our performance.
Roy, a satisfying day at the office?
Yeah, I thought we played very well.
Roy, what's happened to Cuddly Roy? That was back, by the way, in 2011. His West Brom side had beaten Bolton, but he clearly took umbrage with the... And I always feel for you guys when I hear clips like that, because the poor reporter cannot do anything right in that situation, can he?
Well, I mean, I've seen quite a few instances like this before, and I've been not on the end of any really bad ones, because most of the time, if you try and... You have to... In a post-match, straight off the pitch situation, you have to ego massage to an extent. You need to push and ask the right questions and not hold back, but you also have to stroke the ego first and foremost.
And if you're working for the Premier League too, you know, you just can't go in that hard, can you? You sort of I wouldn't have, because you're working for...
No, that was a BBC interview. And, yes. And if you've got more of an independent interview, then you will probably get more of those situations happening. It's not something that in our jobs you can now as at Sky Fay, but perhaps when we were both doing Premier League together, that's not really the line we're going to go down. But... I don't think Roy would react like that now. I'd be really surprised if there was an outburst now.
Oh, no, he did one just a few weeks ago, I think. Yeah, because that's what I thought you were going to play.
Yeah, okay.
He bit a reporter's head off just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I was going to say maybe he's learned, but maybe not.
Well, funnily enough, he wasn't under that much pressure at West Brom when that happened. He then left West Brom and obviously went to manage England. But yeah, cuddly Roy loses it under pressure.
But I don't think he's that much under pressure at the moment this season, bearing in mind the injury situation that they've had.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had so much bad luck the last few months, and they had, you know, what's really going in their favour is the great start to the season that they had, at least. And, you know, in the past, it's been the other way around.
I think it's more to do with the relationship with Steve Parrish at the moment and the fact that he wants players, he wants to bring people in, and he's not been given much.
I think
that's where he's going to take a stance. So... Yeah, I wouldn't say he's under pressure. I just think that it's a bit of a difficult period in terms of managing all those things.
All right, well, some feeling hot under the collar, some less so, but it's time to move on. As up next, we're talking winter breaks. This is The Offside Rule with me, Kate Borsay, Lindsay Hooper and Faye Carruthers. I want to winter break free. Yes, you might recall that we are testing out some Queen songs with our topic names today, but also that we are at the moment experiencing England's answer to the winter break. But where have the Premier League sides been heading? Where have they been getting their winter sun, or have they? And, well, from me, where didn't they seem to go? They seem to have been all over the world, a lot of these players, a lot in Miami and Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Spain. They're all over the place, and they've got the Instagram photos to prove it, haven't they?
They certainly have. Although the one that made me laugh the most, bearing in mind, right, Cole Darlow plays for Newcastle. A lot of the Newcastle players, they play in the northeast. It's cold, especially this time of year. You'd want to go and get some sunshine, perhaps. A lot of them have been photographed out in Dubai, as you suggested, and all over. Nope, Cole Darlow decides that he's going to go to a mountain retreat in the Swiss Alps. Why would you? I mean, that's like me in January. I took my holiday in January and I went skiing, and I thought, why have I done this? I really needed some sunshine, but I can ski. As a professional footballer, he cannot ski. So I don't really understand why he's doing that.
Why would you go there?
No, exactly. But I don't know whether you've seen in the news what's going on with the Brighton players. A bunch of them went out to Spain, and that's kind of gone a little bit wrong. So they've gone on a little winter retreat that's perhaps blown up in their face.
Yeah, and Brighton, their trip to Dubai as a team was cancelled, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Graham Potter said that they'd instead use the time to focus on building team spirit. We'll fight, we'll show character. So they went to Spain, did they?
Some of them did.
Okay.
So the players that went to Spain include Shane Duffy, Pascal Gross, Leandro Trossard and Alireza Yahangbach. So on social media, there is a video that's showing them inhaling from balloons.
It's really adult, isn't it?
Oh, God. And you just think, apparently there are a number of other players around them as well. But, I mean, it doesn't look good, does it, at all? And I'm not sure that is the kind of team bonding that Graham Potter would have suggested.
No, and to kind of counteract that with a bit of saintly behaviour, what about James Milner, who decided to stay behind for the FA Cup replay with Shrewsbury and gave a really lovely team talk as well? So not only did he not jet off with everyone else, he stayed behind, FA Cup replay, gave a team talk. That's why we love James Milner.
Hashtag legend.
Well, it was all smiley faces for the Arsenal team who've been out in Dubai. They're now back in North London preparing for their match against Newcastle. And what a shock to the system that will be, coming back to North London off the back of the storms when you've been in Dubai living it up. It's all been about team bonding, adopting new tactics. A lot of the players have given interviews saying how much happy they are, and they've got this real bond with Arteta, and that you're going to see in the next few weeks a real difference, a real change.
You've got to be careful saying stuff like that, though, haven't you? Because if it doesn't happen...
Well, yeah, but I would say that's more sensible. I didn't understand Newcastle. All the Newcastle players seem to have gone off in totally different directions. Mm. Now, I remember talking about this somewhere else a few weeks ago, saying, what are teams going to do in the winter break? Are they letting players go off individually just to chill out? Or are they going to go for like some warm weather training or some kind of team bonding thing? And you would think at this crucial part of the season that a team bonding thing would be the best thing to do. And it'll be interesting to see the teams that didn't do that, how the end of their season is.
Well, interestingly enough, I get your opinion, but the scattergun approach, in other words, let your players go off, you know, certainly
be with family
for perhaps, you know, a week of that 13-day break, be with their family. It is about mental rest as well. And I'd argue that, you know, maybe you wouldn't get the mental health break that you want if you're away doing some warm weather training or just with your teammates.
That's why the ones that really stick out, I would say, are Arsenal, Man United and Wolves, in the sense that they've done a little bit of both. So they've had about 4 days warm weather. Marbella has been the location of choice for Manchester United and Wolves. Well, and then the players have gone off and done their own thing. And then there was Marcus Rashford, who was like a kid in a sweet shop. This was all his dreams coming true. Huge NFL fan, managed to go out for the Super Bowl, got a picture with Jay-Z, Kevin Hart. So he looked like he was having the time of his life. And a couple of other players that I picked up on. Jorginho went back to Brazil to be with his family, which I thought was a huge trip to make in not a very long amount of time, because he mustn't have had many days there. And then Fred went to the Maldives.
I know, lucky him. Well, there's been a bit of news on the Manchester United Marbella experience. The team were apparently forced to change their hotel in Marbella due to coronavirus fears after Rafa Benitez and his Chinese club stayed there last week.
And there's another one as well with Ighalo. Because
yes,
he came from China. So if he does make his debut for Manchester United soon, we'll see. But he's been training separately in isolation because of that. And it can't be a very nice return to the Premier League for him, not actually training with his teammates.
Yeah, a couple that stood out to me, Aubameyang and Lacazette riding on a camel, like that particular shot on Instagram. Fabulous. James Maddison making us feel very jealous in a Dubai infinity pool. Well, here's one that surprised me a bit, and I may be a little bit late to the party on this, I don't know. Everton's Tom Davies, he is one trendy so-and-so, isn't he? He's been to New York, of course, where all the cool kids go. I'm going to get you to look this up, because there's a shot of him on one of those high, a bit like a Boris bike here, but it's the New York version, in sort of a long dress coat type thing. And then he appears to be in a dressing room. It's all very tastefully done. It's all very kind of Burberry photo shoot-esque.
Have you got it?
I've got the pictures
here. He's wearing a dressing gown.
Yes.
What's going on with the purple shoes? The purple crocodile shoes?
It's basically like a shoot for a fashion house. So there you go. That's what Tom Davies has been up to, looking quite cool. Well done to him,
I
say.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin pulls it off. But
right.
I'm not entirely sure Tom Davies does. But I think it's the wide leg trousers.
I like the purple pointy shoes that Tom's wearing. Debatable. Anyway, that's what some of the Premier League's best have been doing during their winter break. I quite fancy a winter break myself and a trip to Dubai. I think sounds marvellous.
Isn't that where you're going?
Yes. Anyway, up next, ladies, don those ball gowns and get ready to hit the red carpet. We've got some football films on the way.
Is this the caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
So Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, won 4 Academy Awards last year and leads us on to discussing footballers as movies. This was inspired somewhat by Spurs, who decided to celebrate the Oscars by turning their stars into movie stars. Well, into movies, really. So, for example, a good one, The Vorm Identity. A bad one, Davatar. That was Davison Sanchez, apparently. Didn't quite like... In fact, that's on a par with some that Lindsay's going to give us.
Excuse me, I've been refining mine.
OK. I think we've each chosen a team, have we?
I've chosen a team, and then Abby, I think, our producer, who's got so wrapped up in this topic, just said,
just
throw a few more in.
Yeah.
She was like, just do a few more if you fancy it. So I've got a few more as well.
OK, I'm expecting big things.
I've gone for Arsenal, and again, I was going to go for Aston Villa because they're playing Tottenham at the weekend, but actually, and one of them was then inspired by an Aston Villa player that led me on to then doing Arsenal. So I ended up doing Arsenal.
I sort of get it.
I couldn't find enough Grealish kind of...
That is a weird mind diagram to draw when you're explaining the...
You'll understand.
Okay, all right. So Faye Carruthers, let's go to you then. The Oscar for the best movie name shall be awarded at the end of this section.
Okay, I don't think mine are going to win any gongs, but anyway.
Okay.
This was the Aston Villa slash... Actually, it works much better for an Arsenal player. Every Which Way But Louise.
Ah. Yes, yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I like
so
it.
So, obviously inspired by Every Which Way But Loose, Clint Eastwood classic with Clive the orangutan.
Yes.
Harry Potter and the Callum Chambers of Secrets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very good, actually. Very good,
Thank
that one.
Thank you. Got two for this one. You Urzel Live Twice, or For Your Eyes, Urzel.
And both Bonds.
Both Bonds.
What?
Oh, but this one wins, and it's not mine. This is totally producer Abby, and she is just a genius. Kalassi Snatch.
Oh, that
yes,
is good.
I like that one. She also went with a bit of David Luiz action with Thelma and David Luiz.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Well, there's two that everyone knows, I think, because it was on the group that I put forward. So Wilder West for Sheffield United.
Okay.
Fleck the Halls. John Fleck, they were on the group. Now, I've gone away and I've worked hard.
Bless you.
I have.
Have you actually?
And I have bent the rules slightly. I've got TV series in here as well. So I've
no,
got...
Come on.
You can't win an Oscar for a TV series.
No, well,
that's
I'm not.
The BAFTAs that happened.
There's a couple that are worth it. So
you need to go to the Golden Globes for that one, Linz.
Well, we'll stick with the films first, but I'll just give you those at the end. The Freeman Show, Luke Freeman.
Instead of Truman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tango and Basham.
Tango and Cash. Why didn't you just go, oh, Matty Cash doesn't know he plays for Nottingham Forest. Well, no, why does it have to be, just do Tango and Cash is the same film, but with Matty Cash.
Harry and the Henderson, rather than Harry and the Hendersons. Everyone's thinking these are awful. Now, this is where they get good. Okay. Producer Abby said Nick in the Office had come up with Weekend at McBurney's, which was good, but I've decided to come up with my own because I don't like to use other people's.
Okay, can you just give me one more and then I'll
give
you
some. No, I've got two more.
And then I want to finish on your really good ones.
Oh, okay. McBurney After Reading.
Oh, I like it.
Yes, okay.
I thought that was better.
Oh, that deserved more, Kate. Come on.
I still nothing.
Come on, not only did I not take
Harry
someone
Potter
else's
and
suggestion,
the Callum
Chambers
Secrets.
I topped it, I thought.
Okay.
And I've got one more Sheffield United one. Never Say Never, Egan.
No, that's dreadful.
Yeah, that is.
You know what?
Dreadful.
James Richardson said that was the best one on my list.
Well, don't ask James Richardson again.
It's meant to be
then.
Like Never Say Never Again.
I think he was being kind.
We knew what it was. Still doesn't make it any good.
It makes it worse. When you explain it like that, it's worse. I'm going to throw a few of mine in. I took Liverpool, of course, because I couldn't not. Alison in Wonderland.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
yeah
is
it's good,
good,
isn't it? Smooth. Lovren, actually.
Oh.
Yay. Mrs. Jordan Henderson Presents, as in we had the same issue there. Slumdog Million and... God, I knew I was going to get this wrong. Slumdog Millionaire. Instead of Slumdog Millionaire. Millionaire. Faye's got a kind but pitiful smile on her face, everyone. She's looking at me right now. The Firm Eno. There's a film called The Firm. Can you
oh,
remember
no.
That?
That's
Tom Cruise.
Not, that's
Tom Cruise, Gene
good.
Hackman. Super Marnie or Iron Marnie. Take your pick. They're interchangeable. Superman. Mm-hmm. Producer Abby with this one, who's clearly the best out of all of us. A Lalana Land.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, that might have been Nick, actually. Anyway, someone came up with that. Adam.
That's
oh,
good.
Adam, who is Producer Abby's fiancé. No, husband now.
Also, it could actually be Adam Lalana Land.
Yes, it could be. And my favourite one was Finding Nemo Salah.
Yeah, I think that one's good,
isn't it?
I think Kate, just judging by the reactions, and I'm also looking at the face of producer Abby, I think maybe you win the Oscar, but I'm definitely winning the BAFTA.
Okay. For what?
For this. And if you've seen this series on Netflix, you're going to know. Don't Fooks with Cats.
Has anyone seen that?
What? You've got to have seen the Netflix series.
What? No, Netflix series.
Don't Fooks with Cats.
Don't what with cats?
Well, the naughty word. And I've got Christian Fooks instead.
Oh,
blimey. Yeah. Right, well, do you know what? I was just going to give myself a Razzie there, but I'm just handing that to you, Lindsay.
No! I think that one is the good one. And I got Jenna Poo Unchained.
What?
What?
Like Django Unchained.
Jenna Poo instead of Django.
That's not so good.
Lindsay.
And Angus Gunn, Naked Gun 3 1/3 or whatever it was.
33 1/3. Lindsay's, by the way, Lindsay's first suggestion on the WhatsApp group yesterday was Fleck Dance.
Oh my God.
I've got one for you. Wolves Connected, Once Upon a Time in Bollywood.
Oh, Bolly, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't think, to be honest, your other ones were better.
Okay, so we asked Twitter what they thought.
Okay.
And here's what we got back. Toby Gillis, hi Toby. Casablanca.
Nice.
Quite like that one.
That's good.
Locked Stock and Two Smoking Bubbles. I really like that one from Hush Karai. Thank you. Stephen Brandt, Silence of the Lambs. Philip Lahm.
Very good.
We're obviously casting our net out wide here. Natalie and producer Ben both came up with the Shawcross Redemption instead
lovely.
Of the Shawshank. Mm. Lovely. Adam's come in with another one. Clearly he's busy at work today. Good William Hunting. Suzanne says, Mead for Speed.
Beth Mead.
Yes. Any more of them? Oh, we've got Jeremy Inson saying Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Obviously. We could go all day with this, couldn't we?
We could, but let's not, because we've embarrassed ourselves quite enough.
Okay, thank you for getting in touch. Sorry if we didn't read yours out, but they are on Twitter. If you would like to have a look at our little tweet, you can...
Or you can add to it.
You can add to it, absolutely.
Tweet us, at Offside Rule Pods.
Yes, we're totally open to that.
Shout out your favourites and give us some new suggestions.
All right, thank you, Lindsay. I hope you're not getting involved in that, are you?
No, I'm not going to do any more now. That's it.
Back in your box.
I actually scribbled one out, look.
Oh, go on, which one?
What does that say? 50 Shades of Damari Gray.
That's very good.
Oh,
that's your best one yet.
That's the
best one yet.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, the jolly Jake. All right, so time for any other business. This is the section of the show, everyone, where we pick out a few smaller footballing stories that we may or may not have enjoyed during the week. I'm going to start things off by asking you how you feel about Jose Mourinho's falling asleep hair. Did you hear what happened here?
Yeah, supposedly he had a really bad haircut when he woke up, so he had number one all over.
Yes.
This has been discussed. I've done the
so
Totally...
So he fell asleep in a barber's shop, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. So I've been on the Totally Football show as well this week, where apparently this very short haircut is also signalling the impending doom, because he's done this in previous managerial jobs, like at Chelsea and Manchester United, where he suddenly had a different haircut and quite a short one, and then off he goes,
oh,
not long
dear.
After.
We've got some Fort William news. Those regular listeners to the Offside Rule know that we've adopted this team in Scotland called Fort William. To end a big week, they are off the bottom of the Highland League,
yes.
Lindsay.
Go on, Fort
yes.
William.
For the first time in 3 years, with 8 games in hand.
Eight games in hand as well.
Spectacular
wow.
turnaround there in the Highland League for Fort William. We are watching closely.
Have you seen the guy that's got gone early on the Liverpool Premier League champions tattoo?
No.
Yeah.
So he's gone and got it already, basically.
Yeah, Liverpool FC, Premier League champions 2019-2020. Already on his arm.
It's February. Now listen, the Italian Post Office have been in touch. They've responded angrily to claims from Juventus manager Maurizio Sarri that he would work for them if he wanted to experience less pressure. So he's talked about being under pressure at Juve. They're now off the top of Serie A. They lost their second Serie A game in three on Saturday. And he just said, look, pressure's fine. If I wanted less pressure, I'd go and work for the post office. Anyway, the Italian PO, not happy with that suggestion.
I wanted to talk about Ravel Morrison, the fact that he's now at Middlesbrough working under Jonathan Woodgate.
We mentioned this the other week, didn't we?
Yeah, I just wonder, why does Jonathan Woodgate... Things aren't going very well at Middlesbrough at the moment. They're not great in the table. They've not won in the league for six games. Why does he think he's the man to do something with this player? Because I was looking through everyone that he's worked with. He's had 10 clubs, 5 loan deals. He worked with Chris Wilder, Sam Allardyce, Alex Ferguson. He'd been out at Lazio because they thought, oh, you know, go to Italy and then that maybe that will help. Nothing has. Why? Why are people still persisting? Because I think if we had an equivalent in a different job, they wouldn't be getting a 10th or 11th in this case chance.
Well, I don't think you can deny that he has the footballing ability.
He has no aptitude for it.
Well, how have Middlesbrough done since he has arrived?
Not great.
He played in the draw against Wigan.
Oh, he played in
on
a draw.
Tuesday.
Hang on.
He's coming
I'll hold
back.
My horses
He's
then.
Coming back to it. And apparently he did quite well. So don't be Mrs. Judgy Pants just yet.
Oh, yeah, I'm here to be proven wrong, okay. But I don't think I will be.
I don't think you'll be on his Christmas card list.
No, I don't think so either. But I it just frustrates me. I think players that have got that sort of talent that just don't have the application with it. Is frustrating. It must be from a head coach point of view.
Well, apparently a local paper described him as feisty and flash and full of swagger, which I'm not sure is entirely appropriate, but there we go. Watch this space. She's happy to be proved wrong. It's Lindsay Hooper. Someone who keeps making the same mistakes again and again, by the way, Joey Barton. When will it stop? They say lepers don't change their spots, do they? Fleetwood Town boss. He's been charged by the Football Association after being sent to the touchline for the second time this season, shown a red card by the referee late on in Tuesday night's League One win at Wickham, and has now been charged over comments he allegedly made towards match officials. Well, it's not big, it's not clever, is
no,
it, Joey?
There's another poll we can have. Will Joey Barton get more red cards as a manager or as a player?
Well, he's getting more red cards than his entire team at this rate, I tell you. All right, we're going to wrap things up unless anyone has anything else to throw into the mix. No, well, we can save it for next time, ladies. It's been a joy and an honour to be joined by two such experienced presenters, reporters with gravitas. I didn't even introduce you properly, did I, Faye?
There sounds like a slight element of sarcasm in there somewhere.
No, I really don't mean it. Thank you both for joining us on today's show. We are on Twitter, as Lynn's mentioned, at Offside Rule Pod, and on Insta at the same address. And online, you can find us at offsiderulepodcast.com. I'm off for my warm weather training, ladies, on Monday. I feel a bit like I can never live up to what the footballers have experienced. Now I've seen on Instagram what they've been getting up to. Don't pack any balloons. And I just feel like whatever I do, it will never match their experience. And I do get a bit about the show of wealth. But there we go. What are you two up to?
I'm holding the fort whilst you're away.
You are.
I am.
Faye?
I'm at another gantry near you anytime soon. Cardiff on Saturday. And then I think I have a little bit of a week off, but then I'm at Sheffield Wednesday on a Wednesday night. Ooh. Coming up. So that'll be cold as
keeping
well.
Herself and trying to keep herself warm and keeping the nation warm with her lovely words. It's Faye Corella's Lindsay. You're back next week.
I am. I'm letting you go and then I'm going to go at the end of March.
All right. Well, Faye and Lindsay, thank you. It's been a blast. And listeners, we will be back next week on The Offside Rule. Bye.
The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.
Hello, listeners. I'm Caroline Barker, host of the Totally Football League show. I'm joined each week by Sam Parkin. Say hello, Sam.
Hi, Caroline.
By Adrian Clark. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello.
And a Bolton Wanderers fan too. Not Adrian, but Joe Cridley. Looking forward to League Two.
Yes.
Each week we go headfirst into the EFL to bring you the latest from the pitches to the next crisis to whatever Ian Holloway has said now. From Leeds to Luton, Sunderland to Plymouth, Swindon to Stevenage and everything in between. If it's the EFL you want, we've got you covered. haven't we, Ollie?
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Your guess is as good as ours. That's the Totally Football League Show, out every Wednesday.
In the most delightful way. It's brilliant. I just love it.
Muddy Knees Media.